Welcome to Walk in the Spirit, an expository teaching of God's Word. Walk in the Spirit is the audio outreach ministry of Pocatello Baptist Church. It is our prayer and desire that with the help of this message, we all will learn to walk in the Spirit.
Well, I'm going to ask you to turn here this morning to Galatians. And I'm honored that Pastor Brian would ask me to come and share with you, brothers and sisters, here today. It is a blessing to be in this church family. It's exciting to see what God is doing in your midst and what He wants to do here in the days ahead. So this passage, I'd like to begin here in Galatians chapter 4. I want to start here in verse 22. And the Apostle Paul, he's going to tell a story about two men that, well, as boys, there was two different moms, the same father, Abraham, but from this, back in Genesis, we've had problems since. But what the Apostle Paul does is he takes this story and he brings it out as an allegory in communicating some spiritual truths. So, but I want to start here in chapter 4, and then I want to continue in chapter 5 and end in verse 6. So follow along with me as I read this passage here this morning, starting in verse 22, Galatians 4:22. It says, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman." And you guys, and you've heard this story as a kid. There's two women, Hagar, Sarah. "But he who was born of the bondwoman was born after the flesh." This whole scheme was a man's plan, a man's working, and there was lots of problems afterwards. "But he of the free woman was by promise." Of course, that birth of Isaac, they had to show faith. They had to believe the promise of God. Now, which things here are an allegory? Where Paul is going to, he's telling this story, but he's wanting to bring some spiritual lessons. "For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai." Now, what happened on Mount Sinai? What did we receive on Mount Sinai? Yeah, the law. But Paul is saying here, "which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar." For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth in to Jerusalem, which now is, and is bondage with her children. Now let me just stop here a minute. The Apostle Paul, he's writing to this church in Galatia, and they have experienced the gospel. The gospel comes by, it is faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone. And when this takes place, your sin is taken upon Jesus. In exchange, you're experiencing all the righteousness of Christ. You're clothed in His righteousness. Wonderful. But for those that were experiencing this gospel in Galatia, there were Judaizers that were coming into their midst, and they're saying, "Okay, faith in Jesus, yes, that's good. But then there's this, and then there's this that you need to do to be righteous." Now, how do you think Paul's going to respond to that? What do we do here in southeastern Idaho when people say, "Well, that's great that you have faith in Jesus, but let me come alongside you and say there's baptism, there's covenants, there's all these things that I want to add to your faith in Christ. What does that lead you to?" Yes. So Paul here, he's really going to come down strong on this. So in verse 26 it says, "But Jerusalem, which above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written," and he's going to quote here from the book of Isaiah, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. And it goes on here in 2017. I growing up here in Idaho Falls, as I have trumpeted that it's Jesus plus nothing else, how do you think that goes over sometimes? So there is, in various ways, we can feel it, tension. Today, as we would say, it's only Jesus. So Paul goes on here to say, nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. And an application I'd tell you, cast out anything that's keeping you in bondage. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Now, some of the Bible teachers, they would take the next verse in the opening of chapter 5, and they would tie that right with what we just read, or as our Bible would put it, okay, new thought here, but chapter 5, verse 1, this is the imperative. This is the command that Paul would have for Pocatello Baptist Church. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, and now he's going to bring out a very specific thing that was plaguing these believers. It was told to them they have to do this, these men, to be in righteous standing before God. Nothing wrong with it. But when you say you have to do this to be right before God, that becomes a problem. And it's this matter of circumcision. So, Paul says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now let me close here with this. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. Now to tie this in with, I think, a theme here that Pastor Brian is encouraging you as a church family service. Well, here it is, at the end of laying out the gospel. What is it that really counts? What is it that really matters? Faith which worketh by love. So let me just have a word of prayer here this morning, and we're going to flesh this out a little bit. Lord, we just thank you for this time to consider your holy, precious word. This book of Galatians is like a magna of the gospel for us today in southeastern Idaho. We thank you for the words that are given to us here. And I pray that this would be a strength here to the brothers and sisters here this morning, and ultimately it would just motivate us in service, joyful hearts of service for you. So we ask for your Holy Spirit to move in our midst. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, you know, as I was sharing a little bit yesterday in my testimony, this was yesterday afternoon, I grew up in a church home or a Christian home in Idaho Falls. I went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And I, with my mama and my dad, I mean, I can't even remember the time that we didn't have Bible and teaching about the Bible. So as a young child, I trusted in Jesus as my Savior. I asked for forgiveness of my sins. But growing up in a Christian home, there's its own set of temptations. And as I said, you know, yesterday, I'd go to camp and I'd hear some powerful message on the gospel. And I remember some pastor would say, you know, if you just even have one doubt, you know, you might not be a Christian and you need to get saved. And I'd be like, oh, no, I got to get saved all over again. And so I struggled with the assurance of my salvation. High school, my senior year, it was a mess, just an absolute mess. And I was so focused on how short that how much I fell short of God's holiness and His power. And I think I can never measure up. And yet I was trusting in Jesus as my Savior, but I was so focused on how weak I am in my performance all the time. And so I pretty much felt like God was mad at me a lot. Now, I don't know where you might be here this morning, but this passage right here, it tells me you're in bondage. You need to stand fast in liberty where Christ has made you free. Now, we just recently, this was October 31st. You know, typically we think, okay, this is the day here in America where everybody, you know, gets excited about Halloween. And I don't know about all you guys, you know, your convictions on Halloween and so forth, but there's something else that happened on October 31st. In fact, there was a 500-year anniversary celebration of this. You know what it was? Martin Luther, 500 years ago, he had a 95 thesis, and he nailed it on this door in protesting. He was a monk within the Catholic Church. And he pretty much 500 years ago to this month was saying, you know what? We are justified not by our works. We're justified by faith. And, you know, he wrote a commentary on the book of Galatians. And here on verse 1, chapter 5, he writes this. He says, "For who is able to express what a thing it is when a man is assured in his heart that God neither is nor will be angry with him, but will be forever a merciful and loving Father unto him for Christ's sake? This is indeed a marvelous and incomprehensible liberty to have Most High and Sovereign Majesty so favorable unto us that he doth not only defend, maintain, and succor," the idea of aiding, helping us in this life, "but also touching our bodies will so deliver us that these bodies which are sown in corruption, dishonor, and infirmity shall arise again in incorruption, in glory and power. This then is an inestimable liberty that we are made free of the wrath of God forever. And through Christ, we are made free from the law. We are made free from sin. We are made free from death. We are made free from the power of the devil and hell." Now, this when it says stand fast, it's in the Greek, it's in the perfect tense where it's like take a stand and keep on standing. I don't know where you're at here this morning, but if you're trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are free. Now, how many times in my Christian life it's like I've been saved by the power of Jesus. Now I'm going to try to start this week not in the power of Jesus, but come tomorrow morning, I'm going to try to, just by the strength I have within myself, to try to tackle this week. And I'm going to try to grow as a Christian or move forward in my sanctification. And by the way, you know this, the 12 steps. Now, I was talking to one pastor and he said, Todd, it's only one step. And I'm like, I agree with you, brother. This is a pastor in Utah. He says, it's one step. You trust in Jesus and man, Jesus sets you free. And I'm like, amen. But there's a sanctification process here. And it's every day I got to wake up. Am I going to decide, with all these things that are bothering me right now today, to try to do it by my own resolution, by my own strength, or am I going to do it by the power of Jesus and His grace? And it is an ongoing daily thing. I'm thankful for brothers and sisters that come alongside on a weekly basis here. So justification, one step. Sanctification is a lifelong deal here for all of us here this morning. But it, in this lifelong deal, it's to remind ourselves, to preach to ourselves the power of the gospel. And for us on a daily basis to stand in this fact that we are free. Now, the temptation is, okay, I'm going to try to do this week on my resolutions. Come here December. I don't know if you set resolutions for the new year. I'm going to discipline myself in the new year to do these things. And how long does that last? But I need to remind myself, no, I'm free. And when we're not looking to the gospel, it's so easy to be constantly entangled. These traps that we fall into, and the bondage is real. But Paul says here, when we're in that attitude, I want to point out three things here. In verse 2 it says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, and this was what the Judaizers were telling the believers, these men, that in order to be really righteous before the Lord, you have to be circumcised. But if you go down that premise, then what will be Christ to you? Verse 2, Christ shall profit you nothing. In Idaho Falls, I've told my friends, you want me to supplement Christ with these other things. Maybe you've got some really awesome thing that you say, this has really given me victory. Todd, you need to do this. So you're telling me I need to add this to Christ? I say a supplemented Christ is a supplanted Christ. The minute I'm looking to something else outside of Christ, then Christ is of no effect. He's profiting me nothing. So number one here, Paul says, Christ shall profit you nothing. Verse 3, it says, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. The whole law. People say, well, if you just do these certain things, you'll be okay. No. The Bible says you need to do it all perfectly. I'm going to take you to a passage here in the Old Testament. This is in Deuteronomy chapter 27. And I want to read the last verse. It's in the context of curses. Deuteronomy 27 and verse 26. Cursed be he that confirmeth not. And what do you see in your Bible? Is that next word? All the words of this law to do them. If you're going to go and you're going to try to establish your good standing here as a righteous person, and you're going to try to do it by following the law, you've got to do it all. We're taking another passage here in the Old Testament. This is in Ezekiel chapter 18. In verse 5, let me read here verses 5 to 9. In verse 5 it says, "But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and have not eaten upon the mountains, neither have lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither have defiled his neighbor's wife, neither have come near to a menstruous woman, and have not oppressed any, but have restored to the debtor his pledge, have spoiled none by violence, have given his bread to the hungry, have covered the naked with a garment, he that have not given forth upon usury, neither have taken any increase, that have withdrawn his hand from iniquity, have executed true judgment between man and man, have walked in my statutes, have kept my commandments to deal truly, he is just. He shall surely live, saith the Lord God." Now, I was, F.F. Bruce is a Bible teacher, and he was given a scenario of a Jewish rabbi. He was called Gamaliel II. And it was noted that after he read this text that he wept. Because coming to the end of what he said here, these 13 requirements, he wrote, "Only he who keeps all these requirements will live, not he who keeps only some or one of them." And I'm, you know, as a kid, I was trying to measure up. And the more I tried to measure up, the more miserable I was. And people here in southeastern Idaho, as they're trying to establish their righteousness before God, they're trying to do it based upon the works. But the works, the law demands that we are perfect in everything. I could keep the law perfectly, but right at the end of my life, if I slipped up one time, should I live or perish? The law demands perfection. You would perish. So people that are saying, "Hey, you know, it's Jesus, plus you do this," well, if you're going to go down that road, you have to do everything perfectly. It's not Jesus plus this. And so Paul, back here in Galatians chapter 5, if you're going to get circumcised, then you're debtor to do the whole law. "Christ has become of no effect unto you, whoever of you are justified by the law." And here's the third thing that I want to point. Well, Paul points out here at the end of verse 4, if you want to be justified by the law, then you remove yourself completely from the kingdom of grace.
What hope is that?
Now, for us, brothers and sisters, we through the Spirit, verse 5, we wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Are you here this morning trusting in Jesus Christ alone? Your only hope for righteousness. Well, that's the best news to hit the streets of Pocatello. That it is faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone. That is the good news. That is what we proclaim. And so Paul here, he wants us to stand fast and to keep on standing in the liberty where Christ has made us free. Now, let me ask you this now here this morning, and maybe this has come across to you in conversations, that if I just put my faith in Jesus and ask Him for the forgiveness of my sins and I just take His righteousness, that's all that's needed? What would you say? Yes. We stand on this. This is what we proclaim. Now, then they might say, well, you mean you just show faith in Jesus, but does that mean you just do anything you want during the week? Or, you know, okay, you say you believe in Jesus, but then you just do whatever you want? What would you say? You begin to live for Him. Now, as the chaplain of the Idaho Falls Rescue Mission, we have many in the community that will volunteer to come and do service. But there's two roads in service. One of the roads is, oh, you know, it's Thanksgiving time and I'm enjoying this awesome meal with all my family and I've got all these wonderful things and I'm just sort of guilty by all that I have. And, well, maybe I need to go cook a meal at the rescue mission because I think I need to do something here to have a good relationship with God. Or I'm going to do something here to, you know, I know in my life there's been some things that I haven't done well this year, but, you know, if I cook at the rescue mission, well, that's something I'm doing really good in the community, and so that would be something that sort of counterbalances my own selfishness. Now, do you think that is a good motive for service? It's going down this very path that the Apostle Paul is talking about. And for some, for some it's like, well, okay, I cooked a meal at the City of Refuge. I'm good for the year. I'll see you next Thanksgiving. Pat myself on the back. I did something righteous. Do you think God's impressed with that? But I tell those in the community, now, why is it that we serve love? You know, this how it ends here and what the Apostle Paul says, and I'm going to close with this. He says in verse 6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, whether you're Jew or Gentile or whatever. That doesn't matter. Here's what matters. Faith. But it's faith alone in Christ, but that faith is not alone now as it's manifested outwardly. Faith which worketh by love. Faith is the root. But wherever there is true faith as the root, there will always be love as the fruit. So praise God for brothers and sisters that come to the rescue mission and say, you know what? I'm coming here as a redeemed sinner, saved by the blood of Jesus. And I'm not coming here as one better than you. I'm coming here as one forgiven in Jesus, and I just want to love you because of what Jesus has done in loving me. May that be a revival, spiritual awakening here in southeastern Idaho. And how the Lord wants to use this church family here in the days ahead. Faith which worketh by love. And that theme is carried on through the rest of this book. You know, in verse 13 it says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another."
Thank you for studying God's Word with us on Walk in the Spirit. To hear more of this or other portions of Scripture, please visit www.PocatelloBaptistChurch.com, or you can write us at 190 West Chapel Road, Pocatello, Idaho, 83201. If you live in or are visiting Southeast Idaho, we would like to have you join us here at Pocatello Baptist Church for any of our services. Our service times begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening study at 5 p.m. We have a midweek study and prayer service for both adults and youth on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Child care is available for all of our services. For more information or directions, please call us at 208-237-4915. Until next time, God bless you as you walk in the Spirit.